about this, and I thought, well, you know, if that is true, God has taken our sin and suffering to the cross, it suggests to me that he wants us to stay in the place of comfort. So I believe this is always God's intent towards us. And yes, you know, sure, we can mess up. We can not live a godly life sometimes. You know, we might not always feel his presence. But I believe this is always God's intent toward us. Abundant comfort, reassurance and peace. Now, as we know, that is very much easier said than done. It's not always easy to stay in peace. Things come along to steal our peace. And comfort sometimes is hard to find. And as we search for peace, it's something, we do it sometimes as if it's something that we've lost and we're desperately trying to find our way back to it. But if we share in the sufferings and comfort of Christ, I'm going to suggest that perhaps we should just remind ourselves of this truth and reclaim God's peace and comfort, because it's something that God has already done for us and it's abundant. So this is where the resurrection power of the cross comes in. We think of resurrection quite often as a past event, you know, when Jesus died, or a future event when Jesus comes back. But resurrection power can touch us right here and right now. It can come with comfort, consolation and peace for any of us who are suffering any kind of loss, hardship or even disappointment. Philippians 3:10 in the Amplified Version says this, "And this, so that I may know him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person more completely, and in that same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers, and that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even by his death, dying as he did." So I would like to encourage us this morning that there's nothing that God cannot touch with his resurrection power, even if we've not yet seen that come to pass, even if we've never experienced that. Through his wonderful grace and mercy, he can lessen any grief, hardship, sorrow, or disappointment. And because of his loving character, I believe he wants to shower us with gifts of solace, relief, help, support, cheer, and comfort. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory." So we have the opportunity to be filled with him for purpose, and have our understanding of God shaped by him, and be transformed from glory to glory. How good is that? And sometimes we start to believe, you know, especially when things are rough, that somewhere in our innermost being, that the only way that comfort or peace is to be found is through a change of circumstances. So sometimes we say, well, after we've finished suffering, and after you've delivered us, God, after this hard time is past and it's all over, I'll breathe a sigh of relief and I'll say at that point, well, God, comfort me. I can get on with my life now, and my life's back on track. And we often pray this way, and God sometimes blesses us and answers us. But God's intention is always to console us in the midst of our difficult circumstances through Christ. We don't have to wait to feel better. We can have it right now. I came across, when I was thinking about this, I came across a sporting definition for consolation, which goes something like this. A goal scored at a point when it's no longer possible for the scoring team to win. And I started thinking about this, and I thought, well, actually, I rather like this definition, because I especially like to think of God and his comfort as a victory accomplished by God when it's no longer realistically possible to accomplish it. So does anybody follow football here? Yeah, three people. How great is it when your team is 3-0 down and you've got a man sent off and your team fights back and in the last 10, 20 minutes of the game, they actually score so many goals, they win. That's great. Wasn't expected. It's fantastic. How much sweeter is that when they win like that rather than if you win 4-0 and the team just wasn't very good the other side? Does anybody follow Bake Off here? One, two. If you've ever seen it, they do various challenges. And how good is it when the person has a terrible technical challenge and they think that they're going to go out of the competition, but then they follow that up with an amazing showstopper and it saves them? How great is it when the situation is dire and God comes right in the midst of it all and turns it all on its head at a point when everything seems hopeless? I want to tell you a little bit about my brother-in-law. And he's not Christian, he doesn't believe in God. And in October 2022, we were told that he had cancer and had 3 months to live. We were also told he was not really well enough to receive any visitors for those last 3 months of his life. And the doctors doubted that he would see Christmas 2022. We prayed for God to heal him, but most of all, we prayed for him to live long enough just to be able to experience God for himself. Now, just over a year ago, in the beginning of January 2023, we actually got to see him. And that in itself was a miracle because they'd predicted that he would have died by that point. But we got to see him and it was absolutely great. It was an absolutely lovely time and we were able to share reassurance and hope to him. And we came away and we're like, that may be the last time that we see him. Now, 2 months later, in March last year, we got the news that the cancer had spread. The chemotherapy wasn't working, and they'd come to the end of the line. And again, we prayed. A little while later, the doctors came along and they said, actually, we're going to try something else. So they tried some new drugs, and we continued to pray for him. And we prayed again that he would live long enough to experience God for himself. In September 2023, so we're now talking 9 months after the doctors had predicted that he would have died. In September 2023, we all had a time away with my brother, his wife, and some of our cousins. And we had a fantastic time, and it was a time that we were all treasure. He was even well enough to go on a holiday abroad. However, 2 months later, in November, he got the devastating news that the new drug had not been working and the doctors were going to withdraw it and he would definitely die before Christmas 2023. He actually went downhill at that point and we prayed that the doctors would make a complete turnaround and continue the medication even though it wasn't working so that our brother-in-law could see Christmas. God answered this. But his wife said to us at this point, because she obviously knows what we believe, she said, please, you know, please don't tell him about God. He's not going to listen to that. You know, in fact, we're quite against it. So we were like, well, how are we going to do this? Because now more than ever, he needs to hear about the hope and the life that he can have in Christ. He needs to know about eternal life. So we were praying about that. And on Christmas Eve, we learned that the family had had a call for emergency drugs to help with his pain. He was in quite a bad way. And soon after that, we got another call to tell us that he'd been begging his wife to send him into hospital to die. And so he'd been taken into hospital, and we got a text saying he's unresponsive. We dropped everything, and we went up to the hospital. And we spent the weekend with him. And as we prayed, he grew stronger and became more and more responsive. We continued to pray that he would live long enough to know God for himself, and he himself would raise the matter. Because his wife had said, don't talk to him, we thought, well, that's fine, we won't initiate this, but we'll keep on praying, and we'll only talk to him about it if he raises it himself. Now, on the Sunday of that weekend, and this was a couple of weeks ago, he was well enough to watch a bit of television. And I said to him, what's that coming on the telly now? And he said to me, oh, it's Songs of Praise. And he told us that he didn't think he had a faith. And I thought, well, now's my chance. He's brought it up. So I told him about my faith, and I told him about how I wouldn't be without it. And I commented on the football results, because that day his team had won. In the next week following that, he improved so much he was able to get out of bed and play Scrabble in the day room. Now, the hospital have discharged him, and he's comfortable at home. And in all of this, our consolation has been that God is winning a victory and is accomplishing something that is not realistically possible anymore. God has extended his life at this point in time by over a year. And this testimony is not quite finished yet. But God has been a comfort in all of this to us. And we've been able to share the comfort that we've felt and we've received with my brother-in-law. In 2 Corinthians, we know that it's not just about Paul's sufferings. Instead, it's all about Paul's sufferings and comfort for others, and Paul's suffering and comfort as an example for others. So, the verse that came today is the main scripture, and I'll just read it again. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, we also, our comfort abounds through Christ. This scripture is the verses that come before this. It talks about praising God. Praising God the Father, God of all comfort, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So let us share the hope, as Phil was saying earlier, that we have with those that we come into contact this week. So, as you know, this is nothing that is any different. We know all of this, we've experienced some of this. But I would like to encourage us just to think again about how much comfort we have in Christ, and to think about ways we can share that with others this week. So I'd like to close with this prayer. We thank you, God, that we can share in the comfort and consolation of Christ, and it is always your intent to bless us and have the victory, even when in reality it's no longer possible to win. Many of us are very conscious of what is going on around us. People worry about the cost of living, the news of wars in the world, the lasting effects of Brexit, COVID, and so much more. Help us remember and reclaim your consolation and comfort that you've already provided for us through Jesus Christ. Help us hold on to your peace. Remind ourselves that when we live according to this, we live according to our inheritance in you. Thank you that your abundant solace and comfort is there for us, even in the midst of situations and even for our disappointments. God, help us to think about the ways we can help others in our daily lives this week, so that they too can experience the comfort, peace and consolation that you abundantly provide. Amen. So that's why I've got a plank of wood with the nail in it today. Mystery solved.